One of the Old Testaments, I will not fear, what shall man do unto me? I will not fear. It is so important for us to realize that the Lord is on our side. And no matter what it is that we go through, no matter what kind of trial it is, our Lord is a faithful Lord. He is with us right here. He's with you every moment of every day and night. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. That's what the Word of God says. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. This, we're going to begin reading with the fifth verse of chapter 13 of Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This word conversation, it's not talking about what we're saying, not in our talking. It actually, in the Greek, means deportment or how we act. That's what it means. Keep that in your mind. He's saying your way that you can conduct yourself, let it be without covetousness. And I think all of us know what that is to desire other things, maybe other people's things even, that we desire more than we are really putting the Lord first in our life. The word covetousness in the Greek means greed, greeting, wanting something else that is not ours. It also speaks of filthy lucre. Do you know what filthy lucre is? It's the money. It's money. Filthy lucre is money. In God's sight, it's filthy because people spend so much time trying to get a hold of money, don't they? They want money. That's what they covet and they want. But Paul says here, let your deportment or how you act be without covetousness, without desiring things that are not right, that God has not given. But be content, praise the Lord, with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. The word says that there is no fear in the perfect will of God. There is no fear. When we have the Lord's will in our life and we are walking in the Spirit and yielding our lives to God, there should be no fear because he's in control. He's working. And it's so wonderful. Did I say this a while ago? At Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Psalm 118:6. Remember that verse. No one can hurt us unless God has allowed that. Why would he allow something to hurt us? That's a good question. Every one of us have gone through things that have hurt us at times. There have been hurt times that we've had. We can't say, oh, no, nothing ever bad has happened to me. Praise the Lord, because the Lord has allowed things. Fear is where he says, I will not fear. That word means to frighten. But we need to remember that the Lord God is with us. He is our helper. It means not to be alarmed. To fear is being alarmed at the situation. Hallelujah. What God in Jesus assure us causes us to declare those words. What God and Jesus has done for us and declared for us, we can openly say, I will not fear. I will not fear. Praise the Lord. So how much do we really trust God? That's the question. How much do I really trust God? Am I able to commit my life and my way and everything that goes on in my life to the Lord? That's a real good question. Is he who is declared to be faithful? Is he declared to be someone we can trust? How much do I really trust him? Is he trustworthy? Do you know what trustworthy means? That you can depend on him because he's always going to be right. He's always going to be faithful. He is not going to fail us in our trials. He is a faithful God. That is how worthy, how trustworthy he is. He keeps his promise. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bible to 1 John 4, which is right over from Hebrews here. 1 John 4, and we read another little scripture. This book is written by John, the disciple of Christ. He wrote the book of John, the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. What a guy. What a man. He was yielded to God and wrote all of those wonderful things. So in this chapter 4 of 1 John, we're going to go to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I could ask you, how many of you really know that? That God loves you. He loves you. I hope everybody here today can say, I know that God loves me. I know that he cares about me. God is love. What does that mean? The character, the very character of God is love. That's what he is. He's not a mean old monster up there waiting to see if he can hurt us in some way. Like some people do project God to be that way. The slightest little thing that you might do, God is going to wipe it out. Boy, he's going to punish you for sure. Oh, that's a horrible thought. The Lord is not that kind of God. Our God is a God of love. He loves us. And that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Just dwell in that love. Remember who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the God of the universe. He can do anything. And he answers prayer. The more we cry out to him and just commit our troubles and everything to him, he's just going to come in for it. He's a faithful God. As my husband was sick nearly all of our married life, and I'm telling you, it takes a lot of faith and trust and grace to deal with someone who is that sick and out of their head a lot of times. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that the good Lord was always there taking care of us, just watching over us in spite of everything that took place. Notice in verse 18 there in John, there is no fear in love. What a thought. No fear. The word in the Greek means alarm, terror, or fright. There's no reason for us to be scared. We have the Lord God on our side. He's the God of love. Oh, praise the Lord. There is no reason to be alarmed. Remember that when the devil does that to us. Doesn't he sometimes make you feel alarmed at something? Of course, because we're human beings. And that's our nature, to be alarmed, because we feel weak, don't we? But oh, praise the Lord for the Lord and his strength. Notice that word right there in that verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Hallelujah. As our love for God and Jesus grows and grows, and that's what the Lord wants, the fear will be cast out. Because we know what kind of God we're dealing with. We're dealing with a God that loves us. He knows us by our name. He knows us individually. Even Jesus said those things like that. God was watching over us. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Because fear hath torment. And boy, is that the truth. I could ask you how many of you have had fear in your lifetime? I've had fear in my lifetime quite a few times. But praise the Lord, he was always there. Even when I was a child, there were some bad things happening in my family, and my mother was being mistreated, and I could hear it happening. And yet, you know, I'd always already been filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 8. And boy, did I go to prayer. And the Lord worked it out. He worked it all out. But it was terrible fear at the moment about what might be happening. Oh, praise the Lord. I am so glad that our God makes us perfect in love. Perfect in love. You know, perfect here in the original means to be mature and full grown. And you know what? Probably not any of us are totally full grown yet. Did you realize that? If we were, I think he'd just say, okay, it's your time and take us right out. But we're all still human beings. We're all still people that have trials in our life and tests and things that hurt us and situations too, you know. We don't like it when we're sick. We don't like it when we have this or that. But God is always so faithful, isn't he? Praise the Lord. He casts out that fear out of us. Praise the Lord. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect, mature, complete, and full grown. We all want to be mature in the Lord. I can know that. I can tell you. I know that that's how you feel. You'd like to be deeper in the Lord. You'd like to understand more things about God. We all want that place. And we must just keep on going, keep on trusting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice what that says. Notice the word torment there, because fear hath torment. In the original Greek, that means punishment and torment. Punishment. You know that. When we're scared, when we're afraid of things, we get tormented. We feel it. We know that things are not right. But oh, praise the Lord. He is always there to help us. Glory to God. Perfect. Complete. Consummate in character to finish and fulfill. Hallelujah. He is perfect in love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Apostle Paul was a person who really trusted in God. I enjoyed your message this morning about Apostle Paul because he went through so much, didn't he? He knew how faithful God was. He knew whom he had believed. One of the things that he has in the Word, I believe that's 2 Timothy 1:12. He knew whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that he was able, God was able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. Whatever God is doing in our life, we can have confidence that he's going to keep on doing his work. Have you ever had a trial happened to you, you think, why would the Lord allow this? You know, you feel so helpless sometimes in a severe trial. And you say, well, why would the Lord want to do this? Why would he want to allow this? Well, he's working. And you know, when we are dependent on God, that's when he can really work the most. He's wonderful. He'll come in and reassure you and give you peace. He's done a lot of that many, many times in my life. He's a faithful God. He is so faithful. Hallelujah. So, Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses. I don't know if you know right off what that is, but I hope you do. Say it with me. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Can you believe that? Do you ever have that happen? Yep, it works together for our good, even when it seems impossible. Glory to God. Let's look in 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 6. This is Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy, his dearly beloved helper in the Lord. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul was encouraging Timothy here to stir up that gift that was in him. He seemed to have fear. That's probably why Paul was saying that to him, because he could see that Timothy had fear. And the word stir, to stir up, it means rekindle the flame. You know, sometimes when we're even ministering the word, or people who have places in the assembly, different things the Lord wants us to do, sometimes we get discouraged and it's hard for us to keep on going on. But here Apostle Paul says, stir up that gift that is in you. Stir it up, rekindle that flame, and be ready to do whatever God wants you to do. In verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Anytime we feel fear, it is not God. God does not do that to us. He gives us peace. He gives us power. But it says, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Those are the things God gives. There have been times in all of our lives when we were going through such a trial that was pretty hard, wasn't it? And it was kind of hard to reason that, okay, God is still here and he's on our side, and you know, all of that. Trials are hard, very hard. But remember that God has not given us that kind of spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of love and of tenderness and working in our lives. Any other spirit that is a spirit of fear is of the devil for sure. But the spirit of power, I wrote spirit of because somewhere I found that he gave us, instead of a spirit of fear, he gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah, how precious he is. Now notice that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Who's in back of fear anyway? Satan. Satan is in back of that fear always. When we have trial and we think, oh my goodness, how is it going to turn out? Sometimes not like we plan. But in the spirit, we have two things, don't we? Don't we? You all that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of Christ, and you know him as your Savior, and you also are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of power. He gives us power regarding ministry, whatever it is God has called us to do. And whatever he's called us to do, we better be doing it. Really, we need to be doing that part. We're a body. This is only a small group compared to all the believers in the world and all the believers that have ever been here since Christ was here and since the apostles were here. There's been thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are part of this body of Christ. Praise the Lord. But we need to realize that we all have ministries in some way. We have the spirit of power and we have spirit of ministry in some way. And you might say, well, I'm not a speaker or I'm not a whatever, okay? But you, as God leads your life, you can be a blessing to someone else. And that's part of ministry. Praise the Lord. And also, we have a spirit of love that has been given to us, which is Romans 5:5. It says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The love of God. All of us have had trouble with people sometimes in our life that we thought we could never love. But then we come into a spiritual growth and God gives us love for others that are unlovely. People who have done us wrong, people who have mistreated us, he gives us that love. Isn't that precious? And notice he says that we have a sound mind. So in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us we are to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. What happens in our mind? Everybody knows. if you've gotten a trouble from somebody that's really hurt your feelings or hurt you as a person, it's pretty difficult sometimes to not blame them or to blame somebody and think, oh, it's just the most terrible thing that they've done to me. All of us have had those times, I think. But we have a sound mind in the Lord. My mind might not be so sound right now. Sometimes I forget things. But in the Lord, I have a sound mind. So we're told to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. That's how victory comes when we have been hurt or whatever. And then a last verse here, it may be 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our minds are where fear lurks. Fear comes into our minds, but we are victors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In Psalms, I'm not going to turn there today because I'm already running out of time, but one of the verses in Psalm 27, verses 1 through 6 says that, whom shall I fear? God is my Lord. Whom shall I fear? If the Lord's on our side, why do we fear? See, that's of the devil. The devil wants us to fear things. In Psalm 56, 4, it says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will not fear. Psalm 118, 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? In Isaiah 41, 10, it says, fear thou not. That's one of my favorite verses. I think we'll turn there. Let's turn in Isaiah 41 and read that verse together, because it's so such a blessing just to be constantly remembering that the Lord is watching out for us. Hallelujah. And he's so faithful. This is Psalm 41, verse 10. I love anything that tells us not to fear. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Isaiah 41, 10. This is a command. It isn't a suggestion. It isn't a, why not? Why not right now trust in God and don't fear anything? See, it's not a little thing like that to kind of remind us or something. It is a statement that's very, very bold. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. What a promise. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us. He's so faithful. Be not dismayed. Dismayed. Having fear, being frightened, being affrighted. All of those things we think of. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. I will uphold thee with my hand. I will strengthen thee. That word means to establish, to fortify, to make us courageous. Isn't that like our God? Oh, hallelujah. What a God. Who is our God? Hallelujah. What a God. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand. I will uphold you. Usually this is the prominent hand, often spoken of as the position of favor. Jesus sits on the right hand of God. Hebrews speaks of the open hand indicating power and direction. Praise the Lord. Even little Benjamin was a son of my right hand. But Christ is the Son of God at the right hand of God right now. And what is he doing there? He and God just talking? Absolutely. He is praying for us. He is interceding for us. We don't go through a trial, a test of any kind, except he's interceding for us. Isn't that precious? Thank you, Lord. What a God we have. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Again, the right hand of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.